Sometimes I have a hard time following that act. It's so right on, and kind of fits with what we're talking about. Well, good morning, family. I'm glad that y'all are here. Kevin's good to see you. Samuel, it's good to see you and your daughter and everybody else, too. Glad to see you. Is that a little loud for you guys, or is that okay? It's okay?
She said it's a little loud.
Well, I don't know. She said it doesn't matter to her.
JD. Can you hear me now?
Oh, boy.
Well, here's your bulletin. Here's your test, as Paul calls it. That's okay. Jacob is not here. He's feeling a little grumbly, so we left him at home with some Verners and his warm bed. I think he's having withdrawals. He needs sleep, and he's looking at tomorrow being the first day of school. You guys looking forward to it? What? You're not looking forward to it. Well, let me guess. I'm on the other side of the desk as a teacher. I'm not looking forward to it either, so I'm with you. Well, I'm glad y'all are here. As Paul was talking about, we're actually, Carrie and I and Aaron are going to go up and pay a visit to Charlie this afternoon and Karen and just see how he's doing, take him communion up there and just spend some time with him. It's good to be there with each other like that. So I want to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started right away. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I love hearing the children's message, and it kind of sets up. And certainly, Carrie and I, you know, we're husband and wife, but we don't coordinate. But we do. What we do have is you as the center of our life. And so it's not lost on me that even the music and with what Brenda and Connie and Sharon play, that it all ties together. And you being the center of everything that we talk about and do. Lord, as we begin this new year, we just need to accept and realize the slate's been wiped clean for us. If we're a believer in Jesus, our slate has been cleared. And so, Father, we look forward to how you're going to use us in the future for your sake and for your ministry, for your opportunities to reach the world. But, Lord, I just pray that we're ready. We're ready and willing, and we're leaning forward in the saddle, as they say. Let us not be caught on our heels, but leaning forward towards you and expecting your Spirit to guide us. Lord, I'm thankful. I have a wonderful church family here, people who are praying for me and my family, but how we pray for each other as well. So, Lord, we thank you, and we acknowledge that you're our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I've got the title of the sermon this morning. It's called Project 2020. 2020, you've all seen the Facebook thing or the thing on the internet. When you're writing 2020, just don't do the 20. Make sure you do 2020, because people can put other years in there and alter things, and just be careful. So it's going to feel a little odd. How many of you have already made the mistake and left 2019 on your check or something else? You have already, Amber? It just happens. I'm still struggling with December, you know, putting December in there. And it's you got to get used to it. But Carrie said something kind of interesting, talking about even today, wise people are still seeking Jesus. Over the holiday, I had a lot of time to read, catch up on the news. And as you said, Di, there's some crazy stuff going on. We're being challenged as Christians. We're being challenged politically. We're being challenged culturally, and we're being challenged spiritually. And would y'all agree with that? I mean, we're getting it from all sides. And even though we're not necessarily looking for a fight, the fights are coming to us. And so, what is typical? What do people typically do on, you know, the January 1? One of the first things, or many things that people do, is set some goals for the year, right? I want to go and lose some of that sushi weight that I put on, or what did Carrie, she said she saw a meme on Facebook that said it's no fun until you can't fit in your jeans. So the holiday, for a lot of time, for a lot of us, was about family getting together, having a great time. Some of us enjoyed some Christmas goodies, maybe a little too much, right? You know, it's all good. But some of us, no, it was just a lot of time to read. And I was reading up on a lot of stuff that the church is facing, the Christian body of believers is facing. And it's a little scary. I was sharing this morning in our Bible study about how a friend, a good Christian friend, somebody who identifies as a Christian, came out as being homosexual on Facebook recently. And just the struggle for me on how to respond or not respond. Or do I have to respond, or what's expected of me, especially as a pastor. Knowing that he's put that out there now, what should I do? We're just abortion. The social issues that we're being confronted with, taking care of the poor, giving money away to help people, those things socially and politically are tearing our country up in many ways. And it doesn't seem like we're necessarily on the same page or sheet of music anymore. We're fighting. Even amongst churches, we're fighting. Some churches stay on one side of the fence. Some churches stay on the other. And it seems like it's just politically we're being torn apart. Would you agree, Helen? It just feels like there's a rending. Culturally, the cultural issues of our time, the norms, the things, I could go through a whole litany of them. When we were younger, I could ride my bike anywhere, it seemed like. I could travel 10, 20 miles if I wanted to away from home, and the expectation was I'd be home when the lights came on. It just, you can't do that anymore. It doesn't seem right. You go to send kids to school. You send kids on a bus. There's expectations that they'll be safe. But you just don't know. You see stories every day of kids disappearing or kids being abused. Culturally, we're being torn apart. My friend revealing himself on Facebook as being gay. How do we deal with that? Spiritually, I shared this morning, even the same issue of homosexuality. The Methodist Church is facing a schism. They're facing a decision soon. There's churches in the Methodist Church that will adhere to the biblical teaching and definitions of marriage, and there are Methodist churches that will go the other way. They embrace the open and affirming side of alternate lifestyles. How do you settle that? How do you work through that? It just seems like, is it getting better or is it getting worse? And you know, is the glass half empty or is it half full? The interesting thing is, for 2,000 years, the Bible's full of what possible sins there are, and there's no new sins under the sun. We know that. Intuitively, we know that. When you read the Bible and scriptures, the sins that are the sins are still the sins. There's no new sins being invented. Technology is just helping some of those things get pushed out there more. We're seeing things faster. We're seeing things in full color. We're seeing things online. It's just real time. And sometimes real time is not necessarily the best time, is it? You think about political decisions in Washington, D.C. How long it took for the information from Washington to get to Illinois in the old days? You know, we didn't have internet. We didn't have, you know, telephones. We didn't have, that used to take some time. Newspapers took a while to get across the ocean. Unless you were listening to a radio on December 7, 1941, you might have missed FDR's message about Pearl Harbor. Technology has helped that, but it's kind of like sped some things up. So where are we going with this? Where am I going with this? We can start the year with some wonderful goals for ourselves. I want to lose some weight. I want to learn a new language. I want a new job. I want to shed some of that stuff in my garage that I've been holding on to that I shouldn't be holding on to anymore. I could buy a new car. There's a lot of things that we could be focusing on about improving our lives, and we call those setting goals. And those are good. Those are good. But I have a different challenge for you for this year. And I want to read some scriptures to back it up. But right on your outline, it says, do you have a, and in the first blank, I want you to write the word plan. Do you have a plan to continue learning? Now, it's interesting coming from me, a pastor, but I'm also a teacher. I teach at Shiloh, and I love to teach. I hope you appreciate my teaching. As a pastor also, I'd love to get in the Word. I'd love to wrestle with the truth and not go against it, but to learn from it and to grow from it. But do you have a plan to continue learning? I believe, in my experience, that when we stop learning, we start dying. That's when we turn that corner, and when we start shutting our mind down, we start closing our hearts, we start closing our eyes, not necessarily literally, but figuratively, I think that's when we start dying. We slowly start shutting our lives down, because learning is like, it's like breathing. when we're learning, and we're always learning, are we not? Even you guys. You guys are sitting over there young. You got a whole long life in front of you. You know, you just look at 12th grade and you're gone, right? Well, who's the oldest one in here? Who's the oldest in here? Helen? Are you still learning?
Yes.
Is there anybody in here? Gosh, even asking this question after I just said that, not learning? Because by definition, if you listen to what I just said, you're dying. Is anybody not learning anything? Kevin, you're a guest here today, but are you learning still today, sir? Just picking up the newspaper, you learn something. Picking up whatever, listening to conversations. Our kids, our grandkids. What's going on in France? Di, you've educated us this morning. We learned some things. We just learn things, don't we? Every day. It's hard not to learn. So what are some things that we can learn? Well, here's some verses that I want us to read. If you go up to the top, it says Proverbs 4, 6, and 7, James 1 and 5, and then the last one, 3, is actually supposed to be 17. But let me give you some wisdom that I found online. These are kind of different. These are some wisdom quotes. The first one comes from Eleanor Roosevelt, from her book, This Is My Story. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Right? That's pretty wise. Nobody can make you feel inferior unless you say, okay. That was pretty wise. Here's another one. Maurice Switzer, Mrs. Goose. It is better to remain silent at the risk of being thought a fool than to talk and remove all doubt of it. It's better to remain silent at the risk of being thought a fool than to talk and remove all doubt of it. I've opened my mouth and I got to understand those people looking at me going, what did you just say? How about this one? William Shakespeare, from his writing, As You Like It. I can't talk this way. The fool doth? You studied the literature. Is it D-O-T-H? Is that doth or doth?
Doth.
The fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. That'll mess with your head. Think about that one for a minute. The fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. And then finally, Mark Twain, one of my favorite. Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it is time to reform or pause and reflect. Mark Twain just has a way of getting right to it. Right now, there's majorities being built up, majorities in churches, majorities in politics, majorities in our churches even. What do? So here's a proposal for you. I'm going to read some scriptures, and I want to see what the Bible says about learning and setting some goals and having a plan. So the very first verse that I want us to turn to is Proverbs 4, 6 and 7. Proverbs 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it cost all you have. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Let me read that again. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Are we born wise? You hear Carrie's talking about GPS, following GPS? Our kids are smarter than we are. Well, who do you turn your cell phone over to or your DVD player when you have a problem getting it programmed?
Kid.
Connie, you know exactly what I said. That smile came up right when because I've done it. I tend to like to think I'm technology savvy. But sooner or later, you got to hand it over. Turn it over to the kids, right? You're laughing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you fixed some issues at home? Yeah. I think part of it is we don't have any patience to read the instructions. The kids do. They get it. They just get it. I'm sorry? Do I have a mouse in my pocket? Well, I talk to kids at school, and they are very wise on technology, and it's scary. It's scary what technology is doing to our culture, is it not? The stuff they're being exposed to, on the one hand, it's good. On the other hand, it's very risky. Kids are being exposed like never before to things that many times you had to go behind a special wall or go to a special room to go look at, but now you can just literally pop it on your phone and there it is. Scary. Wisdom. So according to this, the beginning of wisdom is this. So this is where you start. If you're looking for wisdom, get it. But here's what I know. I thought I'm always, I was a wise guy. I was told that always growing up. Rich, you're one of those wise guys. Now that's not the right kind of wise, Brenda, is it? You know exactly what I'm talking about. I was the one getting in trouble. Not because I was wise, but because I was not wise enough. Or it was the wrong kind of wisdom. But how do you get something if you don't know you need it? Can you get something if you don't think you need it? Or you don't need it from certain people or certain places? Or I'm going to fight. You tell me I need something or I've got to go get something. I'm going to look at you and kind of go, why? And I better figure out that's a good reason to go get it. But why should I go get more wisdom? Why? And as a Christian, wasn't I kind of given all that wisdom when I first became a Christian? Wasn't there like that magic anointing? We got the Holy Spirit, it's like, boom. It's like Adam and Eve. They ate of the tree of knowledge, didn't they? They're instantly wise, right? And they went ahead and sinned. How come we know more, but we know less? Does that make sense? Can you know too much? Can you know good stuff and bad stuff? We know what to do. There's that verse in the Bible that's really confusing where Paul says, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, I don't do it, I don't want to do it. I'm not even going to recite it correctly. Brenda, can you recite that one?
I know.
I know I'm supposed to do it, but I don't want to do it, and I'm working against myself because I don't want to do it. Get wisdom. And though it costs all you have, get understanding. Now, there's a difference there. What's the difference between wisdom and understanding? I could give you a book. I could hand you a scripture. I could hand you a little pithy little thing from Mark Twain. And that's wisdom, so now I've got it, right? But what if you don't do anything with it? What if you don't listen to it? Wonder if you don't absorb it? What if you don't bring it into your heart? Wonder if you don't do anything with it? That's where the understanding part comes from. You can get wisdom. You can read the Bible all day long. You know what? Satan knows this better than anybody in this room, including me. Satan knows this backwards and forwards. But does he understand it? I've known a lot of people who are Christians in their life who can quote this chapter and verse, and they've hit me over the head repeatedly, enough where it hurts, but then when you look at their life or you look at what they're trying to do, and you go back and you go, do you get this? Do you understand really what it's saying? So when we're dealing with cultural issues, when we're dealing with political issues, and when we're dealing with spiritual issues, understanding the wisdom of the Bible is very important. And I think one of the challenges as a pastor, one of my roles is to feed the sheep. You know what that means, right? I'm not going to go out and buy a bunch of grass or straw and say, go eat this, Paul. Though in Illinois, you can go get grass now and you can smoke it. I'm sorry. I set that one up for myself and I didn't even know it. But he's not literally saying, I mean, you can come over to my house, we can break bread. I like that. I like going out to dinner and doing things and having fun. Or hitting up Barb at McDonald's for a french fry, you know, when I see her after church. That's not what they're talking about. Feed my sheep means to feed them spiritual food. How do I do that, Jason? Part of what I do is what I'm doing right now. It's to teach. It's to lay it out, show you some differences, give you the biblical teaching or understanding of what it is, and then let you eat and just absorb it and bring it in. That's where the understanding comes from. But here's what I know. As a shepherd, that's what another title of my role is I need to tell some of you sheep in my flock that you're eating from a field that doesn't have a lot of grass in it. You know what happens when you keep sheep in one pen, right? Any of you raise sheep or goats or cows, you know what happens, right, Paul? It's gone. It's amazing how fast a grassy field will become a mud field if you just put 10 cows in there, right? The grass will be gone. They'll dig it up. It becomes mud. There's no grass left. Sheep will keep eating until it's gone. And sheep have to move, and they rotate the fields. And I think here, even in our churches, if we stay in one place, if you're only getting fed on Sundays, for example, or if you're only getting fed from certain channels, or if you're only getting fed on your own, or you're not coming in and having fellowship, it's entirely possible that you're going to be eating of a field where there's no food. Or the food is so thin and so depleted that you're really not getting fed. You're not getting the nutrients that you need. You're not getting the fulfilled word of God that you need. And so my challenge to you, based on this, says get wisdom. And then it says also go get understanding. And some of you, I feel almost like a prophet today, is some of you need to examine your hearts and examine your lives. And how do we wrestle with those political, cultural, and spiritual issues if we're not being fed fully? If we're not being fed the right food? If we're not being fed in a way that builds us up? It says go get it. Then get understanding. That's where it starts. So my challenge to you, I call it Project 2020. Because I think that we all need to examine ourselves where we're at today, and as authentically and as clearly as you can, figure out where you are and challenge yourself. It's not about weight, losing weight. I'm not going to get a scale and have everybody stand on that and then, you know, applaud when you lose 5 or whatever. What I want us to do is to evaluate where you stand in regards to wisdom and knowledge, and make a plan. Take advantage of our ministries and grow, and we move on. I can't think of a better goal than to look you all in the eye and say, as your pastor, we all need to grow. We all need to keep learning. Because what did I say earlier? If you're not learning, you're dying. And it doesn't have to be physically dying. I think spiritually dying is enough of a scare that you ought to be concerned. We're going to be facing tougher battles, folks. We're going to be facing challenges like you would never believe. They're coming. And if you're not ready spiritually, if you're not ready, as Ephesians says, 4-6 says about putting on the armor of God, if you're not strong enough, you could succumb to battle wounds. What does that mean? You ever talk to somebody or somebody asked you about Jesus and you didn't know what to say? I've been there. I fumbled it. I thought I had to know this chapter and verse. I thought I had to have the perfect answer. I thought I had to be able to recite verses right off the top of my head. That's not what God's asking about. That's not what Jesus said. He says, feed my sheep. But he also says, love your neighbor as yourself. Some of us need to learn what loving is all about. Some of us need to go back to the beginning about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ again. Some of us need to go over the basics. Some of us are well advanced in our thinking, in our knowledge. Sometimes we need to hang out with some young people to get a little energy. Sometimes, well, Amber, I don't know. You got 3 little ones running around. You probably got a lot of energy, right? No, that's the weird thing. It's inverse related. You hang around a lot of kids with energy, you lose energy, right? They're like sucking it out of you. We have younger people in our community and in our church that need mentors. They need fellowship. Some of you have said, I've done enough. My ship has sailed. I'm done. Some of you need to plug in. There are ministries in our church. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it. Everything we need to do ministry at Hinesboro Christian Church is here already. We don't need to be the big church down the street that's got programs out the wazoo. We don't need to build bigger buildings. We have what we need right now. So let's start using it. Let's start doing with it what we're supposed to. So here's my challenge to you. Are you utilizing the gifts of ministry that are here right now to grow? And I can't answer that question for you. Really, I can't. That's not my job. You have to answer that. I just have to bring you the question. And I have to have the food available. I have to help you make that connection. But I can't make you eat. I can't make you drink. So, let me go a little bit further on. A couple more verses. Flip over to James, please. So we know what our task is. We know what our goal is. Our project is to get wisdom and get understanding. But let's talk a little bit about what that is. The first one is in James 1 to 5, chapter 1, verse 5, and it says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, anybody here want to admit to that one? I'll be the first. There are things that I told you this morning. I just brought it up in our Bible study this morning. And in Bible study group this morning, thank you for listening and with kind hearts and not jumping all over me. Aren't you the pastor? Aren't you supposed to have this figured out? How do I deal with that friend of mine that came out on Facebook? How do you do that? As a pastor, and he knows him, there's pastors in his group, friends grouping. Shouldn't we say something? Shouldn't we go to them and say, hey, if you're a believer, Matthew 18, what are we supposed to do? When we see a brother or somebody who's sinning err, what should we do? We go to them out of love. We don't go to bash them over the head. We don't go to tear them down. But I'm wondering, what's the timing on this? Think of the woman who was brought to Jesus who had been caught in adultery. Did Jesus hit her over the head with the Bible? No, he sat on the ground and diddled with his finger in the dirt. Whatever he said there, those guys dropped the rocks and moved. But he also looked at her and said, go and sin no more. That's not condemnation, that's love. Go sin no more. So my thinking to my friend is, do I just go sin no more? What do I need to do? And culturally and spiritually, I'm a little unsettled on how to proceed. I'm trying to be transparent here to all of you. It's a struggle. These are things, real life problems. And if you don't have it in your family, it's there. It's probably there already. Maybe you don't even know it. I've got a brother who's gay. JD mentioned that he has somebody in his family who's a homosexual. Okay. It's all around us. And if it's not that issue, there's alcoholism, there's drug addicts, there's all kinds of cultural issues that we're being faced with. And how do we respond? Because here's where the world wants you to go. We have to change the rules. We have to change what God's word is. No, we don't. We just need to know God's word so we can apply it to the context of the situation we're facing today. Remember I said there's no new sin under the world. There's no new drug addicts. They've had drug problems for a long time. They've had sex issues. They've had adultery issues. They've had pornography issues. They've had, what do you want to call it, murder issues. How do we deal with it? And part of it for you and for me is to learn this together and to grow in our understanding. That's what we just read. So let's take this a little bit further. Instead of James 3:12, it's actually James 3:17. I apologize. James 3:17 says this, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, there it is. It's not coming from Rich. It's not coming from Dr. Phil. It's not coming from Oprah. It's not coming from the next self-help book on the shelf at the bookstore. Wisdom comes from heaven. Let me clarify that. There's the world's wisdom, and there's God's wisdom. You know what I'm talking about here, right? We're talking about God's wisdom. It comes from heaven. It's first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. I know there's been times when I've been trying to impart wisdom to somebody who's struggling with things, and I've said it the wrong way. I've probably hurt them more because I didn't think about that. I didn't follow that? Was it sincere? Yes. Was I loving them? Yes. But was my heart really about making peace and working through it and resolving it, or was it about me being right? Because, see, that's where the thing is. I'm a fixer, remember that? I told you that a long time ago. I like to fix problems, and people with problems are things I like to fix. So when people come to me for counseling, I love to sit down and explore issues, but I have to be careful that it doesn't become about me. It's helping them get right with Christ. It's not getting right with Rich or getting right with our church. It's getting right with Jesus. And that's what this wisdom that we're talking about is about. So what do we do? Here's some steps to take. And this is kind of right up my alley because I'm a planner. I like to administrate things. I like to work through issues and problems. So the very first blank there, steps to take. Number one, make a goal or plan to gain wisdom. And to make the plan, you need to evaluate where you stand today. Am I a pretty wise person on a scale of 1 to 10? Do I think my wisdom is appropriate? Right, what are some things I need to let go of? Maybe I need to just stop and just say, God, show me. So the first thing is to make a goal or a plan to gain wisdom. And here's what I know about goals. I don't care if it's about losing weight or if it's about buying a new car. The goal better be two things, measurable and achievable. Now, what do I mean by that? If I say I want to lose weight, and that's where I leave it, if I lose a 50th of an ounce, I met my goal, didn't I, Kevin? Instead of having two Big Macs, I only have one. I've met my goal. But if my goal, like my doctor wants, which is to shed some weight, that's a measurable goal. I'm going to pick a target that is measurable. And here's the second thing. If I ever have a goal, if Jacob was here, he'd laugh, that I'm going to play center field for the New York Yankees by this season, do you think, Jeff, that's even achievable? Probably no. Immensely never possible. I can't even fathom that. Or I'm going to go play quarterback and take Big Ben's spot on Pittsburgh Steelers. Right, Connie? You know, I probably play for Dallas first, right? She's holding her tongue. I love Dallas. Huh? Wisdom, understanding. It better be possible. Is it possible for everybody in this room to spend more time in the Word? Can we say, some of you might say, I'm going to read through this in 1 year. Is that measurable? You can tick off a chapter and get one of those fancy little graphs and charts and just track it every day. I'm done. Okay? How many times have you done it, Jolene? I know you've done it a lot.
Well, I got a book. I got a devotional Bible that would give me the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Psalms, and then a prophet and such. So I was easy to follow. So it was a devotional at the same time as reading the Word. So it was really good. It takes a few minutes, and also you get upon scriptures that you want to sit there and meditate on, so you want to plan, like I plan probably back in 2011 when I rededicated my life to the Lord, I sat down and planned to spend time in the Word, and so now it's 2020, I spend an hour every morning in the Word with devotionals and a book. And I need that for me because I'm a weak, fleshly woman. And if I don't spend that time with God, it's very difficult. You get temptations come. And so I need that time. So
good.
Some people are stronger and they
need less.
Get tempted easier.
Sure.
But I do, and I'm flesh, and I admit it, and I'm transparent about that. But I need to do that, and I need to plan on spending more time in the Word before I go to bed at night. So that's one of my resolutions. Plus, peace.
Jeff, what's a standard? Sorry, Jeff, what's a standard work week? How many hours do we? 40 hours. Somebody with some wisdom greater than me sat down and figured out how many hours it would take to read the Bible front to back, and it's less than 40 hours. Is that humbling to you? I mean, it caught my attention. If you really want to sit down and read it and read through it, now what you're describing is more of a devotional time, which is more involved. You read a scripture or you read a passage and you stop and meditate on it and write your thoughts. I get it. But if you just really want to read it, front to cover to back, if you did it, just somebody sat down with a time or a clock and said about 30 to 40 hours. Wow. How much time are we wasting on TV or computer games or whatever we're occupying our minds with? I mean, a football game takes 3 to 4 hours. I get it, and that's pointing right back at me, folks. How are you spending your time? It's an investment, okay? So, two things to make a plan. Number one, it better be measurable. You have some numbers to it or some quantity. How do you know you hit it if you don't know where the target is? If you say I'm going to lose 20 pounds and you're at 19, what do you know, Linda? You haven't hit your target yet, have you? You're close. But if you hit 22, you can go have an ice cream sundae. You know, whatever. You know the number. But it better be achievable is the second thing. So don't listen to those people who say, you got to read this for 3 hours a day. You got to read six chapters. It's between you and God. Make a plan, measure it, and then do it, okay? The second thing. Take advantage of the ministries that are available to you. We have a Bible study that meets here at 9:30. I think it's pretty good. I'm not saying that because I teach it, but here's what I know. Is Paul, Sharon, we've all contributed, haven't we? And that's just the way I love to teach. I don't make you sit down and shut up and listen to me. I like to engage. I like to ask questions and put the thoughts on the table, and what do you think about this, Linda? What do you think, JD? What do you think, Helen? And give us a chance to kind of take it in together. Now, some of you said, I've read this enough. I'm done. Remember what I said about stop learning? I've read the Bible enough times to know that I'm learning how little I really do know about the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I need to reread it again, and the Holy Spirit will teach you something new when you need it. I've read the same passage multiple times. And then I go back and I'll read it, and it's like, oh my gosh. And God shows me something new, a new nugget. Everything that we need to do ministry is here. We have programs for kids, little kids. We have youth group. We have couples ministry. My wife is helping with women and having a group there. That's a great group. She loves doing what she's doing, and the ladies that come. Nancy, you've been coming. Di, you've been coming. Barb, you've been coming. Who else has been coming?
Marcia.
Do you like the group? Is it effective? Is it helping? I've been in some churches where they got all kinds of programs. And here's what I know. There's so much to offer, but they're not covering some of the basics. Because people say, if I don't have this kind of program, I'm going to leave. What we have to offer is what we have to offer. Now, here's what I also know. If we don't have a ministry that we need, make your need known. That's what Acts 2 talked about. They prayed and they let each other's needs known. Jolene, you asked me once about a support group. Do you remember asking that after you found out about your cancer markers about 6 months ago? I've been praying to find...
About prayer.
I've been praying. I've just been praying, looking. Maybe one of you knows of a grief group or a cancer survivors group that might be a benefit. That's how this works. Here's the third thing. You make a goal and plan to achieve wisdom or gain wisdom. You take advantage of the ministries that are available to you. And the third thing is to be accountable. So if I publicly stood up here and said, I'm going to set a goal to lose 50 pounds next year. Okay, just go with me on this one, because I'm not. At least not right now. After I go see Charlie, it might kind of smack me upside the head, because I've got some reserve muscle here I think I need to let go of. And my doctors would probably say yes. So if I made that, I know pastors who have done this. You ever seen this from some churches? They'll actually put the scale on the stage, and the pastor will come in and weigh in with you to see how they're doing. That's a lot of peer pressure right there, Helen. Don't be inviting me over for cookies when I come over and visit and then laugh at me when I get on that scale and it goes the wrong way. You know, the pastor, he's coming over to have some cookies and hot chocolate, you know. That's accountability, a form of accountability. Sometimes it's really about just sitting there talking to each other. We hold each other accountable in our study. You know that, right? We on time, the content, we ask questions. JD's like taking notes. We're involved. It just works. So make a goal and a plan to gain wisdom. Take advantage of the ministries available to you and be accountable. So let me just buzz through these real quickly because this is where it's got to go real fast. I left you blank spots for these next three steps. How do you achieve number one? First thing, understanding of who you are and where you are right now. That's where it starts. It starts with wisdom. And the wisdom is, I don't know enough. Or I don't know as much as I thought I knew, right, Louis? Oh, yeah. It's being truthful. If you think you know everything, watch out. I don't think so. I think that's being untruthful with yourself. That's called a lie. You're lying to yourself. None of us know everything, right? Barb, you know a lot about administration stuff, right? Do you know everything?
She's lying.
We need to desire to be somewhere beyond where we are today. We want to move. You don't want to stay here. Don't stay where you're at. So you start with a clean evaluation, if you want to call it. It's kind of like a health check, Connie, right? You start with what you know. That's what doctors do. Give me your background. Tell me where you're at. What are you taking? What are you doing? What's your history? That's your baseline. And then I hope there's a desire in your heart to not stay there. Though I argue with my doctor all the time about my weight, he's saying, Rich, get off that. And so there's going to come that time for me. I know it. It's already actually has begun, but we need to move. Because if you stay in one place, what happens? You stagnate. You don't grow. And that becomes your new norm. We need to have a healthy understanding of our abilities. Some of us, did you all know that at the end of the year, if you had a flip phone that worked on 3G, it's probably dead now?
January 20th.
January 20th. Okay, well, the salesman at the Verizon store told me earlier, because I think he wanted a sale. So the flip phone that we gave Erin, remember that whole story about wanting a phone? Her phone doesn't work. Paul's, he's got a smart. How many of you still have flip phones? Anybody? Helen? It's coming. You're not changing? Well.
You can still buy a flip
phone. 4G flip phone. It's 4G. That's the critical thing. It's not flip phones. I, as I'm getting older, my sight's getting worse. I need the bigger screen so I can see what I'm looking at, right? There's changes. We need to change. But Carrie was talking to me over the holiday, especially with Charlie and Ray and some of the other people that we visited over the holiday break. How do we get the word out to everybody in the church fastest? And the old prayer line thing works great as long as everybody's near their home phone or whatever, or email. But everybody's getting smartphones where text messages go blasting out real fast. And one message can hit multiple people at once. So one of the things that we're considering helping people do is finding out what you've got to work with, understanding our abilities, and maybe the right thing for the prayer line is to put it on a text group and blast it right out.
You guys have been amazing this past week about getting messages out.
Good. People's lives are on the line, folks. Driving to Springfield is a drive. And we don't want to miss opportunities. And sometimes seconds count, minutes count. But remember the whole thing about information. It's, you know, it's going faster, which means you need to have your phone on. You need to know how to use it. So understanding your abilities. Clear and measurable targets to achieve number one. Remember, clear and measurable targets. Do you understand what you're signing up for? If you make a commitment next year or this year to come to a Bible study, okay? 9:30, it starts downstairs. Women meet on Monday nights. The youth group meets Sunday nights. Come every week or come when you can. None of us are forcing it to happen all the time, but it's clear and it's measurable. But here's the thing to think about when you're getting involved with ministries. It's not only just time, but it costs you something. Sometimes it's letting go of something. It's letting go of a TV show. It's letting go of time with other friends. But it's also, there's possibly costs involved. It's making a commitment to be part of that fellowship in that group. Our couples ministry, we try to make it affordable and safe. You don't have to have it at your house if it's not available. That's okay. We can have it at the church. What's important is the time. We'd love for you to be there. Okay, so those are just some things that come to my mind when I think about how do you achieve the first step, which was making a goal and plan to gain wisdom. Here's the second one. I'm sorry I'm running late. How do you get the requirements for step two? Do you all know the list of the ministries here offered at the church? There's a lot going on. We try to list them in the bulletin, but one of the things I'm going to do is put that list together and just have it available. Who the contact person is, when do they meet? It seems repetitive, but when you're on the inside and you know all this stuff, if you have a friend, you can just hand them the sheet of paper. You can say, hey, come and join us. Facebook has helped a lot. When we do the youth group, we do special ministries. Next, in the back, and it's actually in the bulletin. Who's got their bulletin? No, you can read it for me, Paul, if you don't mind. January, we'll see you Family Fun Night. Do you see it in there?
19th.
The 19th of January, we put in the bulletin. Our youth group typically meets on Sunday nights. But one of the funnest times that we had was when we put youth group in the church together and we just played games together and ate food. Does that sound fun?
Yeah.
It was a blast. And we're going to do it again. So we put those opportunities in there. Here's one that is of interest to me, is find solutions for gaps. If I keep saying to you that we have everything we need, but we don't have an active ministry supporting whatever that need is, we need to find a solution. And a lot of times it's not going to come from me. It's going to come from you. I've been in places where they adopted Celebrate Recovery for people that were dealing with recovery issues. I used to teach a divorce recovery program when I was single. I've taught a singles ministry when I was single. I've taught a men's ministry when a group of men wanted to get together and learn about being spiritual, godly men. So let's find the solution. Another thing on your part, you need to commit to participate. What does that mean? I don't ask you to sign a blood pledge, but if you say you're going to be there, be there. Commit. Put the time aside. Knock the other stuff off, clear your calendar for a while and give it a shot. And then finally attend. So those would be what I would call take advantage of the ministry opportunity, some things that you can do. Lastly, how do you do number three, which is to be accountable? This one is going to be a little bit of a struggle for some of us. Let others know of your goals and targets. And why is that a struggle? Because we have to be honest with each other. We have to be willing to put it out there and take a risk. But isn't that what we're supposed to do with brothers and sisters in Christ? It shouldn't be safe for us to say, you know what, I'm really lacking in this area and I could use some help. Maybe my marriage needs to have some strengthening time right now where we need to come together. Maybe we need to have an alternative place where we can gather as women and be open with each other about issues that we're facing. That's what I think church is all about. That's what God intended it to be, the fellowship of believers. Relationship and communication. It's not enough. How many of you have been to, well, I'll start with a church group, but any group where you go there and you wonder, number one, why are you there? This doesn't make sense. The agenda is totally off the wall. And nobody talked to each other. There was just one person talking, and you walk out of there going, that was a waste of my time.
That's work, right?
I'm sorry?
That's work.
Okay. It could be. I've been to groups. I've been to church groups. I've been to ministry meetings. You just wonder why. Number one, we need to find good teachers. We need to find good materials. But we also need to help build relationship and have communication with each other. So that means pick up the phone and call and saying, how you doing? Can I pray for you? What can I pray for you? That's how we hold each other accountable as well. If we're not talking to each other, we're not revealing, open and honest with each other, how can we be accountable? And then lastly, are we willing to accept the help? Are we willing to listen to the advice? Are we willing to take those steps necessary to be accountable with each other? That's hard, people. So what does this look like? I'm just kind of throwing this out there. We're talking about Project 2020. I would love to see each and every one of us make some form of commitment this year to plug in somewhere, somehow. Maybe it's doing work here in the services. Maybe it's working behind the scenes. We're going to have VBS in the springtime. We have the ladies' luncheon coming up. We have opportunities, trunk or treat in the fall. We have youth ministry meetings. We have women's meetings. We have Bible study. We have lots of opportunity for people to grow. But again, I can't make you eat. I can't force you to drink. That takes time between you and the Holy Spirit to plug you in and grow. So I'm going to challenge you to think about it. I'd like you to go home this week and pray about that and think about what it is that you need to fill those spots in your heart that you need to grow in. And then somewhere down the road, maybe in another week or two, we talk about that. We build that up and we know and we reveal to each other what's needed, what's missing, and then we make some plans and create those opportunities to help each other. I don't know what that's going to look like yet. What I do know is that if I don't bring it to you and tell you you're eating off of barren fields, you're going to get hungry. And I don't want you to leave here, go try to go find it elsewhere when it's possible that it's right here anyways, all the time. We have some good teachers here. We have some people with good wisdom here in the church. We have some wonderful experiences of life. People who have wrestled with some hard issues in life, with some knowledge and some wisdom that you might need to hear. So here's my closing question to you, your takeaway. And this is actually a verse in the Bible. Proverbs 19:8 says this, "The one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper." Now, I'm not going to do the name and claim it thing and the holy rollers that talk about prosperity and that kind of, what I'm talking about is that when you have wisdom and you apply it correctly and you learn from it, your life grows. That's prospering. That's life. That's a positive thing. There's fruit there. It doesn't always necessarily mean financial gain, but spiritual gain. Let's pray. Father, thank you as we gather this morning to hear your truth and to hear your wisdom. And Lord, my prayer is that we glean the understanding from that truth to apply it in our lives. Father, some of the stuff is so commonsensical that we scoff at it and say, well, I've already learned that, I know that. And for some of us, it's just a reminder. But as a shepherd, I don't want to assume anything. I don't want to assume people know how to take these steps. I don't want to assume that people just, you wave a magic wand and I've got wisdom and I've got understanding. It says we're to go out and get it, and we get it from heaven. We get it from you, God. So, Father, as we close here this morning, we stop. We're going to take communion. We're going to do offering. We want to grow closer to you, and we want that understanding. And we know it can be work. It can be consuming of time, and we have to put things aside. But, Lord, I don't want to stop learning. I don't want to stop growing. I don't want to stay in one place. I want to grow in you. So, Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for this morning. For those that are listening on the internet, Lord, please know that we pray for you as well, that you grow deeper in your life and your walk with Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ladies will come up, and I love this song, I Surrender All. Page 596. If you'd all please stand and rise.